Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I am Maciej Wadnik from WOOD & Company, and I would like to welcome you on the conference call with Kernel to discuss results for the fiscal year 2017. We will start with the speech by Kernel's management, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I have the pleasure to introduce our speakers, Andriy Wierewski, the Chairman of the Board, Anastasiya Usachева, CFO, and Yuriy Kovalchuk, the Corporate Investment Director. Now, I would like to give the floor to the management.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for participating in our annual call. Today, we report the annual results for the year ended in June 2017. We produced and handled record volumes across each business line, which translated into the $319 million of EBITDA and the $179 million of net profit, with a net debt to EBITDA ratio staying at the comfortable 1.6 level following the recent investment into the expansion of our farming business. Financial year 2017 results were undermined by continuation of weakness in crushing business. Extremely high margins over the past five, six years drove substantial investment into the sector and resulted in overcapacity, pushing the competition on the top and drag margins to the very low level. Moreover, a low cycle of global soft commodity prices discourages farmers to sell agri products actively, further increasing the competition. Our game plan in this situation remains very simple: full capacity utilization to maximize contribution and benefit from our scale. With the 3 million tons crush in financial year 2017, we achieved almost 90% of capacity utilization, which is above the industry average, delivering a record for us, 1.2 million tons of bulk sunflower seed oil to the export market. Overall, our sunflower seed oil business segment contributed $100 million of EBITDA this year. This is 23% less than a year ago. In contrast to crushing business, our grain and infrastructure segment demonstrated strong financial performance. In financial year 2017, silos and our transshipment facility handled export volume, largest pretty much record for us, posting a record while the margins in grain trading remained low, reflecting the passive market environment. Overall, the grain and infrastructure contributed $110 million of EBITDA. This is up 3% year-to-year. In line with our guidance, the farming division delivering another great year, benefiting from good weather conditions, and obviously, the hedging strategy helped as well, and it all translated into the $144 million of EBITDA, which is pretty much flat with the last year. So, based on financial year 2017 results, the board intends to recommend the shareholders approve the dividend of $0.25 per share. Now, I want to give a few words about current financial year 2018. So we broadly assume weak business conditions to prevail in financial year 2018, keeping financial performance under pressure. Ukrainian farmers are expected to deliver between 13-13.5 million tons of sun seeds this year. Again, the major reason is unfavorable weather in central and southeast of Ukraine, pretty much impacted the crop yields and reducing the total sunflower seed supply more than 1 million tons compared to the last season. Despite the low harvest, we still aim to crush 3.2 million tons of sun seeds in this year to maximize capacity utilization. But obviously, we maintain our cautious outlook for the crushing margins in financial 2018 because we see the competition remains very strong in the current season. Our grain and infrastructure division is projected to operate at full capacity. We expecting the pretty mirroring the both operational and financial performance in financial year as in financial year 2017. We also anticipate a decline of earnings in farming division. Unfortunately, we keep working in a low cycle of the falling global soft commodity prices. As well, we facing decline crop yields during the hot summer, especially in central Ukraine, where they cannot have a substantial farmland bank. And we also see that acceleration local cost inflation following devaluation of domestic currency in the previous period. So we're raising slightly the lease rights and the salaries, squeezing profitability from farming operation overall. So as well, the important point is ongoing integration of recent acquired farming business, which shall require at least one more season to bring the productivity level to the kernel standards. So future diluting the operational performance of the division, of the farming division in financial year 18. Regardless of our cautious outlook for the next year, we're excited about Kernel midterm prospectus. So recently we declared strategy 2021, an ambition plan to achieve the financial performance, targeting $500 million EBITDA by the financial year 21, pretty much developing all our divisions and redeploy the fresh cash generated, the free cash generated by the existing platform. So on the way to this important milestone, we recently acquired two agro companies. We're paying $200 million to expand our farmland, increasing by 270,000 hectares and adding 370,000 tons of inland storage capacity. Both deals are complementary to each other and fit well into the kernel existing platform. First of all, we bought the farming operation in the regions where we're very positive with location, the mainland bank north and west, while another deal was instrumental to secure immediate access to the storage infrastructure to support larger crop flows. Our in-house crop production will provide the captive supply for arriving new grain terminal. So the construction work for the new grain terminal of the $120 million investment in progress according to the plan. The first stage should be operational at the end of financial year 18, while the full capacity commissioning is scheduled to the end of financial year 19. Facility will remove the bottleneck of our value chain, unlocking 4 million tons of additional grain and oilseed exports from Ukraine for us. So we have no doubt that the growth target set for our farming and infrastructure segment will be successfully achieved. We have pretty strong team in farming division for integration, and despite the not an easy process for the terminal construction, it's fully under our control. So we also have a clear plan how to benefit from the current weakness in crushing sector to bring the important part of our business to the whole new level. Just to give you the general picture, what is going on at the moment on the crushing sector. So we have the multinational companies, which is today around the 20, represent 20% of total installed crushing capacity in Ukraine. And with no doubt, these companies could afford operating at zero or even negative margins, while the independent Ukrainian local crushers, which represented more than 50% of the sector, are not financially capable to running business if crushing margins will stay at the level of $50-$60 per ton. Even local players who recently invested in the low-cost modern crushing facilities still lack of the scale and have to carry on the high cost of debt, and without a doubt, current level of the crushing margin is not sustainable, and shall result in decommissioning of the high cost independent processors or consolidators of the sector. For last 10 years already, the sunflower seeds was the most profitable product for Ukrainian farmers, and it's keep incentivizing them to produce more and by expanding geographic and improving yields. Obviously, supply boost might not happen overnight, but we already see the quite encouraging data coming from the western of Ukraine, where the growth of acreages under sunflower seeds is well above the Ukrainian average, supported by strong crop yields. Presently, the acreages under the sunflower seeds production in western Ukraine is around 8%, compared, for example, to 16% in central and 30% south and eastern Ukraine. So, at the same time, up to 90% of the total Ukrainian installed crushing capacity in the central and southeast part of Ukraine across the traditional sunflower seeds belt, where we see this severe oil seed supply deficit. So Kernel is well prepared in advance to benefit from the low cycle of the crushing business. We deleveraged our balance sheet, diversify earnings and funding sources, extending our maturity of our debt. So we see the clear opportunity, and we have to build for Kernel the presence in the western of Ukraine, where the supply base and long distance to other crushers create a strong case for greenfield construction for the largest and most efficient crushing plant in Ukraine. A few weeks ago, we announced our intention to launch the construction of the 1 million tons of the crushing facility in the Khmelnytsk region, which planned to be commissioned in the summer 2020. So we're expecting roughly $130 million investment. Keeping economic interest for our interest low. So besides, we continue to hunt for the brownfield target located in the west of Ukraine. And this is very important to mention that we're entering into the whole new isolated emerging geography, economically protected by high transportation costs, rather than expanding or acquire the crushing facility in the traditional sunflower seeds belt, where the supply and demand imbalances persist. So saying that, I mean, obviously to construct the new crushing plant sounds unreasonably from the first place, but once we look at the data, once we look at the balance of the crushing capacity, supply, demand in this region, we clearly see the place and the good opportunity for that in the western Ukraine. So as a result, we will add 1 million ton of the modern crushing capacity, and keeping all our assets in a new nearly full capacity utilization. To finalize the crushing sector in Ukraine, I would like to mention that obviously it's very hard to predict timing, but we expect the gradual recovery and stabilization of the crushing margins around $100 per ton of oil with the next few seasons, following the rationalization of demand along with supply growth. With all the investment made and yet to be deployed under the strategic plan, Kernel shall annually handle over 12 million tons of the soft commodities by 2021. It's a notable increase for the current level, requiring more sophisticated hedging instruments, going well beyond the capacity of the traditional risk management built around the physical forward contract. So having this in mind, we recently launched Avere as a company, as a knowledge center and a research platform with offices in the United States, Switzerland, and Singapore, to get better visibility for global soft commodity trends, fundamentals, and to develop in-house insight and expertise, effectively hedge service Kernel ever-growing physical export volumes. So finally, the next month, we celebrate 10 10 years of anniversary, Kernel being public company, listing the shares in the Warsaw Stock Exchange. It was a 10 years of the incredible journey. Over the past 10 years, our company transformed from $46 million EBITDA small local player into the leader of agri company in at the Black Sea region. It wasn't a smooth ride for us. We had our ups and downs. Especially farming development wasn't easy for us. Expansion into the Russia crushing sector was less successful than we anticipated. Many regulatory, macro, and geopolitical setbacks influenced our performance, but we succeeded in building strong business model and decision-making system, allowing us to look at future with optimism. Kernel earned the recognition of the best credit from Ukraine following our $500 million debut Eurobond issued last winter, unlocking the country after the 4-year freeze and successful return to the international debt markets last month. Today we start writing a new chapter of the Kernel. I would like to announce an important decision of the board of directors to appoint Yevgeny Osipov as the CEO of Kernel. At his new role, Yevgeny will manage day-to-day operation and be responsible to execution of the strategy. Just to try to make it clear to everyone that my involvement in the company will be absolutely the same as in the past. I will continue to serve as the chairman of the board, actively steering the policy, strategy, and future development of the companies. The operation of the company become very scalable and will require more daily attention for the old division of the business. Yevgeny joined the team in 2013, has turned our struggling farming division into the profitable business system, which now sets the industry standard for operational efficiency and technological excellence. He has very good knowledge of the company. He is experienced in a systematic approach, and I think he has the right mix for daily navigation of Kernel operational needs. We are fully committed to achieve our ambitious financials and performance targets, leveraging our platform to bring Kernel to the new sustainable level. This is pretty much it from me, so I think we're ready for your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. We have a question from Martin Gontas from BKO AB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. Firstly, I have questions on sunflower business outlook. First of all, maybe you could elaborate a little bit on capacity increase that took place in the financial year 17. On page 8 of your presentation, you show that capacity is up from 14 to 17 million tons. I know there were two large projects, but it seems the increase is actually larger than these two projects. The second thing would be also on any, if you have any knowledge about plant capacity constructions, crushing capacity construction in Western Ukraine. And finally, on the other side of the equation, when we look on the sunflower seed acreage in Southeast Ukraine, it's like one third of total acreage, and it seems like, I mean, whether you can comment from the crop rotation point of view whether this is sustainable and whether the yields are sustainable with such significant portion of acreage under sunflower. So this would be on sunflower business, and maybe the second technical question would be on VAT subsidy, because you say that in the current financial year you still book some VAT subsidy, referring to crop inputs, so whether you could give us any hint whether this will be a substantial amount.
Thank you very much for your questions. First of all, what we see right now, we work with the numbers of the total installed capacity, including the small players and everyone. We look at the numbers of 17 million. And at the moment, we don't see any other project which is on the way in Ukraine. Regarding the sun seeds production and high percentages in the crop rotation in the south and then east part of Ukraine, this is a kind of the problem what we see. We believe that the level of the percentages what the farmers keep of the sun seeds in south and east of Ukraine is very high. And we believe that it's almost impossible for them to increase in the yields of the sun seeds in the future. I think they already reached their peak. So that's why we're very bearish in terms of the supply and demand in the regions like south, east, and center as well. So because we don't see the potential of the growing supply in these regions, but we definitely have the major of the concentration of the crushing facility in these regions. So an absolutely opposite trend we see in the west of Ukraine, because we are also the farmers in the west of Ukraine, and we believe that the potential we start to do it, and we believe that our neighbors, farmers, are they doing the pretty much the same. They are actively increasing the sun seeds portion in their crop rotation, and the yield, giving the rainfall and the quality, the weather conditions are very favorable, and we believe that in a couple of years we will see the big boost of the production in this area. That's the whole reason behind why we need to be present in this, to capture this opportunity and not to lose this region in terms of the sun seed supply. Regarding the VAT, Anastasia, maybe you will comment this point, please.
Yeah, in note 27, we have a special disclosure. We received $31 million of VAT, VAT benefits this year. We will still have some VAT benefits in financial year 2018, but the amount will be lower than in 2017.
Do you think it will be anyhow material, or it will be just a few million dollars or less?
It still will be rather material, but again, lower than the current amount.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Dmitry Konovalov from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. One question is on the general improvement of the macroeconomic situation in Ukraine with the recent issue of the government bonds, the overall risk profile going down. So this and, let's say, stabilization of hryvnia, hopefully, in the future, and potentially lower inflation. What impact this would have on your business in general? Could you just maybe identify some key points? And another question is, you also mentioned about the construction of the new crushing capacities in the western Ukraine is difficult because of the transportation costs. Could you please elaborate on this, why you think you're going to be successful there? Thanks.
Thank you for your question. First of all, the overall the environment in Ukraine, for me, it's hard to comment. I think the general direction is definitely better than it was a couple of years ago. We can see it's probably on a dead level, dead market. The definitely appetite for the debt, to the Ukrainian debt, is higher than it was a couple of more years ago. If you ask me if it's somehow affecting us, unfortunately not. Because we pretty much live in our own environment, which link more mainly on the soft commodity prices and the weather conditions in Ukraine and the crop size. This is the most factors which is influencing our operational performance. Of course, we would prefer that the country is developing in the right direction, but it doesn't really change the our perspective. Regarding the west part of Ukraine, it's pretty much very simple. It's just a logistical calculation. It's more easy to bring the sand seeds towards the crushing plant and transport the oil and meal to the port rather than transfer the sand seeds towards the long distance to the center or east or south of Ukraine with the logistic and then crush and export the oil and meal. So our play is to be to the local farmers, especially we are eliminate double fees on the silos because the crushing plants will be with the big facility of the silos, which will allow for us to accept big volumes of the sand seeds and will allow farmers to turn over very quickly their transport and make their logistic easier. So it's and this is the big advantage is to be next to the farmers and next to the producers. That's how we build our assumptions for the new crushing plant. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Sergey Dubin from Harding Lovener. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Two questions for me. The first one, when you talk about the capacity, and you mentioned that you have sort of large multinational companies that are able to operate at either zero or even negative margins versus small guys who are not. My understanding was actually very different from that. My understanding was that it is really the small guys that don't care about the margin, and as long as they survive, they're still there, whereas the large ones are more kind of driven by some metrics. So maybe you can comment on that. And, you know, it was a bit of strange to hear that comment after, you know, what's been communicated before. That's the first thing. The second one is with regard to your grain division, grain infrastructure. It looks like, as you said, the harvest of sun seeds is going to be down quite a bit this year, and perhaps I take it the other crops would be as well due to weather. So if that's the case, how would your grain infrastructure segment perform? Because it looks like you guys are saying that you expect it to be stable, but if harvest is down and utilization is down, why would it keep the same operational and financial metrics? Thanks.
Thank you very much for your question. So let me answer your first question regarding the Ukrainian crushers and why we believe. Why we believe our theory is right. So the number one multinationals are strongly very strong financial capacity, and trust me, we've seen it already in the past years. The multinationals could work and have a financial stability to be zero negative for the long term. Regarding the Ukrainian Ukrainian crushers, it's a totally different story. Why? First of all, let's divide the Ukrainian crushers on a two let's say groups. One group, Ukrainian crushers, who recently invested into the crushing facility, have a modern crushing facility with low cost. But still, if you take even a good crushing plant with the 500,000 tons of crushing annually, if you take this company and calculating his debt level, because he just recently invested at least $70, $80, $100 million in this capacity, even 70. Plus, he needs to run the business to procure 500,000 tons of the sand seed. He needs to obtain the working capital for this. He needs to pay the high cost of the debt of the working capital. And if you calculate all this, the book for free cash is best case zero, or worst case is negative. And this calculation is very simple. We're very much aware and know the calculation and how much this business costs to run and maintain capex, and pretty much cost of debt is pretty much clear for us as well. So it's not that very complicated calculation. You can do it based on our margin, take this volume, do the few mathematical exercise, and you will end up with the free cash zero or minus. If we're talking about the small guys who is not invested at all in their capacity, that's a slightly another story, but these guys are usually a high cost production. So, and they pretty much lack of the working capital. So they run the business inefficiently, and the result is pretty much the same. It's the same story. Bottom line is pretty much zero. So we believe that Ukrainian companies who have a high level of debt and not able to generate a free cash flow, they can't sustain long. Same for the high-cost small guys as well. So we believe that some process should taking place. Or the guys will bring down the utilization, or the guys will sell the business because of the debt level and stuff. This is regarding our understanding of the crushing sector. Regarding the grain performance, you're absolutely right. We will have, generally in Ukraine, the lower level of production for the corn and wheat. But why are we pretty much certain that we will perform on a stable level? Because I should mention that the capacity what we have in terms of production, our own capacity in farming, and our ability to source the grain are very limited at the moment, because we could have done last year way more, but our bottleneck is our port facility. That's why we're building another 4 million of the port facility to do the double the volume, and I am 100% sure that we will succeed it. So even this year, with the decrease of the yields and the crop volume in Ukraine, we are absolutely confident that we will be able to deliver the same volume of the grain as the last year.
Okay, and a couple more follow-ups. So on the crushing margin, so you ended the year with average, I think it was 77, right, dollars per ton, and that was kind of I assume that Q4 would be even lower than average. So,
yeah.
So what's the 2018 kind of expectation, I mean, at least a range maybe, of the crushing margin? That's the first question. And then the second one on the port, as you mentioned, that, you have, I think initially you guys thought it's going to basically be completed in, if I recall accurately, by the end of 2018, but it seems like it got pushed back a bit. Is there any reason for that, or like what's the what is the delay caused by, if there is a delay?
Answer your first question regarding the margins. The 2018, I wouldn't comment at the moment in absolute terms on the margins. I could say that to achieve 77, it will be very, very challenging. So we might be even lower than this level, because once again, the environment is the following: less crop, the capacity is the same, still the competition high, and there's still these guys alive. So there is not that many reasons why the margin should be same or better. So we're expecting probably even softer margins in financial 18. Regarding the construction of the terminal, we are delayed, but it's not substantial. I think maybe like a couple of months, but I don't recall that we ever promised we will be commissioning in 2018. No, it was always planned. It's only partially commissioning. First stage will be finished at the end of financial year 18, and full and up and running will be end of financial year 19.
So it will generate earnings from end of FY 19, which would be like June of 2020, if I recall. Is that right?
June of 2020, it will be full up and running. But in financial year 18, it will not generate contribution because it will be still only first stage will be finishing. By the end of financial year 19, we will have the partially earnings contribution, but not full. But the full will be end of 20.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Our next question is from Alexander Ayub from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. I had a few questions. The first one relates to your guidance for 2018. We understand that the sunflower oil business is going to be more challenging. Farming is likely to recover to is likely to come to normalized levels. Is it fair to say that your EBITDA will be around the 200 million handle? Just want to have a feeling as an investor on where is the EBITDA likely to decrease to. Is it close to 200 or rather around 250? And then the next question goes to the leverage. I think your leverage has increased quarter on quarter over the last few quarters. It's now around 1.6 times. And I know you highlighted that you're entering into a CapEx kind of heavy cycle. So where do you expect this leverage to get to and at which level are you comfortable with? Thanks.
Thank you very much for your question. Let me not give you the number. We're just in the first quarter. I would say that your expectations are super conservative. I hope we're not gonna go that low. So it's absolutely true that pretty much farming will be challenging. And as well, the crushing will be also challenging. This is what we clearly see. So in terms of leverage, we don't believe that because it's still our CapEx, major things we already spend, like 200 million for the acquisition. The port in financial year 18 will be maybe another 50, up to 50, 60 million. So construction, the new crushing plan will not be a lot, maybe 20 this year, not even more than that. So this year will be more the preparation projects and signing the contracts with the equipment. So I don't believe we will exceed 2 times. I hope so. That's the level of which we will keep our leverage, net debt to EBITDA, I mean.
Perfect. And sorry, just on the CapEx, so I think you had a slide with your CapEx expectations for the next few years, but these were expansion CapEx. Shall we add on the top of it like $40 to $50 million of maintenance CapEx?
I'm
talking about
yes.
Slide 14.
Yeah, absolutely right, because we didn't, if you look at presentation, probably page 14, right?
Yeah,
so yeah, we didn't, our main maintenance capex around 40 million, that's what we maintain anyway, so it's not including in our expansion capex.
Okay, perfect. And then, on slide 17, you highlight a correction like EBITDA margin reduction of $40 million on the farming. I think it's like normalization. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the normal EBITDA for that business is around 100 million mark?
Can you say it again, please? I'm not that fast on you. Can
sure. Slide 17.
Yes.
You're showing EBITDA margin reduction of $40 million. On your EBITDA bridge from 2017 to 2021.
Yeah, but that's...
So I'm wondering whether...
What, Yeah, what was, you can look, we just decreased our margin. So that if you look, for example, our margins in 17 at the $370 per hectare, and what we forecast going forward, our margins will be decreased and stabilized on the level of 270 per hectare. So that's how we, that's the called EBITDA margin reduction.
Perfect. And sorry, the last question on the liquidity side. The level of cash on the balance sheet decreased, and but you recently raised, I think, a 200 million RCF. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's the purpose of that RCF, how much cash you expect to keep on balance sheet, and how much debt you have amortizing in the next year or two?
This PXF facility was raised in order to cover our seasonal needs to finance stocks of some seeds and oil. So the level of the debt will go up in December, January, and then will be again go down by end of the financial year. This is the only thing which we will need to actually to repay within this year. 80% of our debt, or even 90% of our debt, is 5 years bond. We don't have any significant repayment scheduled within next 2-3 years. The part of PXF facility, which is a seasonal increase and repayment.
Yeah, actually, in your financials, you have about $180 million of short-term debt, debt which is due within the next 12 months.
Yeah.
So you're going to take additional debt, or additional short-term debt on the top of that with the PXF you just raised?
Yeah, but this is a link to our inventories, so that's what we use to buy inventories.
Yeah, if we increase our inventories, we might increase the total level of the debt. That's why we disclose also so-called adjusted net debt, which means total debt minus cash minus inventories, which are highly liquid commodities. So we might increase the level of the total debt, and we can repay this within one year. Some of the facilities which you can see as of 30th of June 2017 were related to our treasury operations with a short-term nature.
Sure. And just to finish on this point, we thought that when you raised the bond, or a bit before, a bit after, you had raised a three-year RCF to help you with the working capital financing. So if it was a 3 years RCF, then this should qualify for long-term borrowing, not for short-term borrowing. Just want to understand what's the disconnect there.
PXF facility has 3 years commitment, but this is a short-term facility by nature, because you take this facility in order to finance your inventories, and as soon as these inventories are sold, you have to repay the facility. But in terms of commitment, you are right, this is CS commitment, and we are secured in terms of our liquidity. But in terms of nature, this facility should be repaid as soon as we sell our inventories.
That's very clear. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Our next question is from Dimitro Hoshun from Concord Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for your presentation. I have two questions. First is, when you described the poor environment for the small crushers, you mentioned $50 to $60 per ton as an unsustainable level. Do you see this as the bottom of the cycle level for the margins, or is this what you see for the currently for the first quarter? And my second question is regarding the yields for the new recently acquired areas you have. It can be inferred from your presentation that from the harvesting update that the yields are 20 to 35% lower than your existing old land bank. For instance, for sunflower, it is as low as 1.8 tons per hectare. Where do you expect the levels to be once you bring those assets to your standards? Thank you.
First question, margins. As I'm already mentioned, we strongly believe that on the level of $50-$60 per ton of oil, the industry is, if we take the sole crushers, independent local crushers, they are negative in their free cash flow. So they're losing money. For me, to give you the forecast how long they can keep and before the crushing sector in Ukraine will take shape and consolidated and the margin will recover, it's very difficult. I think no one can give the answer on these questions. My forecast, we might have another two seasons before we will see the positive process of recovering the crushing margins. Regarding the your second question, you're absolutely right that the company which we acquired and we harvested the wheat already and sun seeds, we can see the big difference compared to the kernel standard and kernel level. And corn is on the way. We can also see the big difference, and that's how you can see that our average down is average combined yields are going down. We expect next year already improvements, maybe not 100% to the kernel level, but close to it. So a maximum two season, I think we're going to be more or less in line with kernel standards and level.
Thank you very much. Again, if I may follow up, this $50 to $60 per ton level, is it from your model for the market, or does it have any relation to the current levels that you're seeing roughly maybe for the current situation or for the next one or two seasons? Thank you.
Everyone wants to get the number from me, the margins. I mean, what we see is, I mean, that last year we made the average 77. This year it will be challenging, as I've already mentioned, to achieve 77. So we're talking about $10-$15 difference between margins 60 or 75 or whatever. So it's pretty like super difficult forecast. What I'm trying to say is if the margin will stay on the level of $60 per oil, this will be for the industry cause the negative result for the majority of the crushers. That's what I know exactly, because this is what everyone can calculate, and that's very simple calculation. So, but how long it will keep these margins, I don't know. But definitely, this is a very difficult level for the crushers.
Thank you very much, sir.
Our next question is from Stella Cridge from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Many thanks for the presentation. I have three questions, please. The first would be, could you tell us what you're seeing in terms of the crop price trend in the farming division? If you've got good visibility on what you might be selling this year, for example, maybe through some forward selling. Second question is on working capital. Could you let us know for the full year 2018, do you expect an overall outflow or an inflow, or what would you see as your peak working capital needs at the highest point of the year? And finally, I just wonder if you can give us an update on what discussions are happening locally around land reform. That would be great.
I'm really sorry. Can you repeat the second last question, please?
Yeah, sure. So the second question was on working capital, whether you expect an overall inflow or outflow for the full year, and what do you think the peak working capital need would be throughout the year? And the final one was on land reform.
Land reform, okay.
Yes.
So farming... So in terms of our hedging strategy, we have sold the partially farming production, I would say maybe 40-45% of the level of the volume of the farming production on a pretty good level. Unfortunately, then the market went significantly down. At the moment, the levels are not very attractive, and we're still, holding a little bit of long position in terms of the farming production, hoping that we will find the opportunity to sell some more at the better level. And regarding the land reform, and afterwards, Anastasia will comment on the working capital. So regarding the land reform, unfortunately, it was some lots of talks and active discussion in government and parliament and agri sector, whatever, community regarding the land reform. Now it seems like a bit quiet. We don't see at the moment any initiative from the parliament or government which is pushing the land reform forward. Seems like everyone is standing on the level of the lease is satisfied every side of the process, which we don't agree, but unfortunately, we have a limited capacity on that. So I don't think at the moment we have any active discussion in terms of the land reform. So the working capital, Anastasia?
Yeah, in respect to working capital, it's really difficult to go into about, you know, working capital since the peak is in December, as I mentioned. How big it will depend on the market, on the farmer's behavior. You can check out historical numbers as of 31st of December. You will see the picture. But again, difficult to predict what will be the level as of 31st of December. I'd like to repeat again that this increase in debt level would be covered by pre-sold inventories, which are considered as quasi-cash by the rating agencies. So it can be up 150 to 200 million, but again, it will be fully covered by pre-sold inventories. And as you know, we don't take open positions. Our inventories are pre-sold. More than 80% of the inventories, so we have only execution risk related to these inventories. By the end of the financial year, we expect a release of, let's say, $50-60 million of working capital at least, because this year we had a little bit higher level of sun oil stock than let's say a normalized level.
That's fantastic. Many thanks. If I just have one small follow-up, in terms of the current crop prices in the market, how do they relate to overall financial year 2017 levels in terms of perhaps percentage? How much are they down year on year?
I think if you looked at the corn, it's maybe 2-3% down compared to the last year. So the overall prices are lower than last year. has a 2-3% average soybean, corn and sunseed.
That's really helpful. Many thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Sergey Dubin from Harding Loevner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just quick, can you remind me how much farmland did you acquire? Actually, I guess the best way to ask it. So you had 385,000 hectares at the end of this fiscal year. How much farmland do you have today total? And what's the, you know, what do you think the average yield per hectare blended on a blended basis? So taking into account your, you know, kind of a production as well as the newly acquired production, what's you know, the kind of a yield per hectare?
Are you talking about the financial year 18?
Yeah, so I'm talking about now, as of today. What's the total?
You can find it, this information in our operational report. It's a harvesting update. The combined farmland. So we're working with 592,000 hectares.
Uh-huh.
And you can see yields, financial year 18, corn, wheat, sunflower seeds. This is already combined numbers, so diluted, giving the low yields coming from the new acquired companies. Corn is still on the way, but this is our forecast. So I think it will be pretty much in line. So it's not going to be all bad or good surprises. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know if we calculated, because we will divest a little bit of the land, because there's some land which we acquired we don't really, this is okay, 10,000, 10,000 less than we, if we put all together. So 385 plus 217. But here we work with the number 592.
Okay, great. And then just to follow up on that, so just to make sure I understand, when you said that you guys are going to, despite the lower, you know, harvest overall, you still would be able to fill your infrastructure such that you're not going to experience a decrease in capacity. So by my estimate, so you guys harvested 2.1 million tons of various crops, right, in 2017. So, and your capacity of these various infrastructure assets seems to be around, you know, I guess depending on the what it is, you know, but it's probably double or 2.5 times that. So you're hoping to fill the gap from this new land that you acquired, basically through the production from the new land. Is that correct?
Not exactly. Of course, our production will be higher. Our own production will be higher because we acquired the new land. But we are quite strong in terms of the purchasing and procurement the soft commodity from the farmers. We've been doing it for last 15 years, and I can assure you that we are lack of the port facility to do more. So that's the whole reason to build a new port facility. So whatever capacity, extra capacity we have on the terminal, we will fulfill from the market, no problem at all. So, of course, the priority will be for our own farming production, but the rest we will buy from the market.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we've got further questions. We have a question from Alexander Ayoub from Waha Capital. Please go ahead. Alexander Ayoub from Waha Capital, your line is open.
Yeah, thank you very much. Sorry, just a follow-up question on the farming business. Wouldn't the weakness you're expecting to experience in 2018 in relation to the weather, in relation to the weaker commodity prices, wouldn't that be compensated to a certain extent by the fact that you have much more land, which you will be harvesting in 2018? Thanks.
Not quite in absolute terms, yes, but in profitability, not. We will obviously have some optimization in cost and using the better capital expenditures, having the synergy between the land, but I would say it's more minor changes rather than the game changers. The big volume, the biggest volume, just give us bigger numbers in absolute terms, but not the profitability itself.
Thank you very much.
I'm saying per hectare.
Yeah, so bigger revenues, but ultimately, like on the profitability kind of EBITDA line, you don't expect massive improvement from these acquired lands because they're not that efficient compared to your existing operation.
And on the only substantial difference is that for the new land, we would need probably less capital expenditures because this land is linked to our land, and so we can utilize our existing machineries are better. So the investments, the CapEx investments per hectare will be smaller, not several times, but just 20-30% less than original land. That's it.
Perfect. And then maybe another question just on the hedging. You mentioned that you're working on hedging solutions. I don't want to take too much time on that, especially if you have other investors who have other questions, but if you have the time, it would be great to hear more from you about what kind of hedging solution you're thinking about, what do you have in place, what you're planning to have in place. Thanks.
I mean, we've been working many years and we're doing the hedging, and our volume is getting bigger and more substantial. What the idea is to bring the international expertise. Hedging itself is not that complicated. You can press the bottom and sell futures and sell premiums. It's super liquid instrument. But the question is, when to do it, how to do it, and to obtain the more international, more market information, because the price for mistake is getting sensitive. So that's the whole idea of to set up this international structure to feed us the more information, what's going on, to more analyze the market, world market, than we all depend on it. So, and to take the better decision. So that's the whole idea.
Perfect. But for example, do you provide visibility on whether you're hedging already 10% or 50% of your 2018 production?
I just mentioned for example, 2018 production, we already hedged more than 40%, for example. But we don't really provide the quarterly numbers. No, we don't do it. We don't update investors how much we sold. We don't do it. We answer the questions usually on the conference calls because, I mean, it's moving. For example, today it's 45%, for example, we can sell a big chunk tomorrow. I mean, it's kind of like all in the process.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Martin Novak from Ipopema Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. With regards to your 2021 targets, I see that you assume almost full utilization of your new terminal and new crushing facility. How do you perceive competition in those businesses to look like in 2021 financial year? Do you see a risk that those targets may be not met after all? And also, doesn't such high targets suggest that an additional further land acquisition may be useful in longer term?
Thank you. So, In terms of the utilization, if you look at the page 13 in our presentation, you can see the volumes, you can see the margins, and we believe that the chance of utilization of our infrastructure are pretty high. So we have a biggest in the country silos network. We have a well-connected terminals with the railway and a good location itself. Our sun seeds, giving the new crushing plant in the western Ukraine, will be advanced and will be very well located and will have a good position for utilization. I would say we have very good chances to complete our program. If you look at the margins, we play with the pretty conservative margins. Sunflower seed oil, we expect the rebound to $100 by whatever in couple of seasons, 2021. This is definitely God knows. I mean, that's what we forecast, and I would be too optimistic if I would say I'm sure that the margin will come back to the level of $100 per ton of oil by 2020. I mean, no one knows, but that's what we believe should pretty logically happen on the market. The rest of the assumptions, I think, pretty reasonable, and I don't see big reasons, maybe only if we will have a really bad crops disasters, weather disasters in Ukraine. That would be challenging, of course, to utilize our facilities. But otherwise, I think we have a pretty strong chance to do it. In terms of the farmland, at the moment, I think we are done. We have no plan to buy more. I think the level what we have is pretty sufficient. And I would even optimize a little bit, maybe to divest a little bit, maybe 10, 20,000 hectares we might sell because they are randomly located, not really linked to our existing operation. So it's not very efficient for us. But generally speaking, we're happy with the size, and I think the farming team has lots of work to do for the next 2, 3, 4 years to bring the efficiency up and cost-effective structures, and they have a big work ahead of them. So I believe that we will stick to this size, unless land reform will come and will bring some new opportunity, and we will see how we're going to behave if land reform will take place. Otherwise, I think we stick with our existing farming operation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Jiri Fidler from Terra Partners Asset Management. Please go ahead. Jiri Fidler, your line is open.
I'm sorry. Hello. Good afternoon. My microphone was off, but today I'm online. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Good. With respect to the planned multi-seed processing plant in the western part of Ukraine, can you tell us something about the metrics on which you make the decision? I mean, internal rate of return of that project, or estimated expected net present value, or payback period, some or other rules on which the decision was made to construct the plant in the western part of Ukraine, if you understand me.
Yes. I'm happy to do it. If you look at the presentation on the page 15, you can pretty much see the whole information. The investment is 130 million. We would need to add the working capital around 80 million, and the target EBITDA we're expecting around 41. So that's pretty much numbers we work with. So you can calculate return or whatever multiples we invest.
I got it that I didn't get that far within your presentation, so far today. So thank you very much. I'll make those calculations and I will see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Our next question is from Katarina Krosina from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much. It's just a very small follow-up about the hedging. Do you plan to trade oil seeds, including soybeans, and do you plan to do some proprietary trading?
So, I mean, the team will do the prop trade with the minimum VAR which we allow them to do it. They will also do the physical trading between the markets. They will trade the soybeans from Latin America to China. They will do the corn. They will do the oil complex as well. So that's pretty much variety of the products they will do.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
It was a long call. I think probably the longest we ever had. For the 10 years anniversary, probably, yeah, we definitely deserve it. Thank you very much for your questions. I hope we tried our best to answer them. But anyway, if anyone is not satisfied, please send emails or give us a call. We will try to give a deeper explanation as usual. So thank you very much to be today with us. Good luck. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.